I looked up the word witness. And a witness is a person who sees an event happening, especially a crime or an accident. The sermon's title, An Unusual Witness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for allowing me to speak today. But Father, let it not be my words, but your words. Reach me that I may reach others. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I was sat in my van doing some paperwork a few years back, and I was minding my own business, and then someone reversed into the van. And I didn't see them coming now because I was parked up. And it was enough to knock the pad out of my hand, so it was a good knock. So I thought, strange. Accidents do happen, says I. The person got out of the car. It was a 4x4. So the big tow bars and all that. Got the car, examined their vehicle, quick glance at my vehicle, and then closed the car and went off. I went, what? So I got out and said, excuse me? She said, what? I said, you hit me car. I already touched you. I said, but you hit me car. She carried on. So I said, you could have at least said sorry. Sorry, she says. No, I didn't think it was very sincere myself personally. So I got out my vehicle. I didn't have a mobile phone them days. And I took me pad. I wrote the number plate and sat in the car and can do my paperwork. Next thing I know, a knock on the window. Bam, 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 bam. I looked at, oh, she's the lady that hit me vehicle was right by the window. So I wound the window down and said, can I help you? And I realized she had someone stood beside her. This is my witness that I didn't damage your car. I said, he wasn't there when he hit me car. Well, I can see there's nothing wrong with your car. So just let you know, he's a witness. It's from bank. I said, okay, fine. Nothing to worry about then, dude. I was so upset that she wouldn't take responsibility for what she did. So I would have let it go had she said sorry, because I couldn't see any damage to the vehicle, but I thought, well, it's still bad enough. I drove my vehicle to the garage just to check it through, make sure that I haven't missed anything. When I opened the bonnet, what she'd done, she hit my car with so much force, she pushed the radiator, and there's a big hole in the way. It wasn't leaking, but it's big. And also, on the headlight, she broke the frame that allows headlight to go up. I wouldn't have seen that. I said, oh, wow. I said, what's the damage? About £1,600. I said, well, I know she hit it, but it wasn't that bad. No, well, she hit the bracket. So I kindly went back to the bank, saw the person who was the lady's witness. I said, I know you don't want to get involved really, but I just want to share this with you. This is my report from the garage. The lady that hit my vehicle, she's done a bit of damage more than she probably realized. Because when she hit the bumper, it went in and came back out. So you couldn't see on the outside, but internally did a lot of damage. Now, I said, I'm sure it's a bit much for you to get involved in something you didn't see, but if you want to, I'm just letting you know this is what happened. Oh, no, I'm not getting involved. I said, okay, well, I don't want to let you know what you'll be getting a witness for. So then I went to the police station and reported the incident. He said, do you wish to press charges? I said, not really, just fix the vehicle, that's good enough. Being a nice Christian person I was. And it was interesting that someone was going to be a witness, for something they had not seen. Just because they saw the vehicle looked okay. Last week there was an incident in church with two children. Someone got a little hurt. I can't be a witness of what happened. I didn't see it. I saw the after effect. But then they both made up, I believe. But I could so easily have witnessed, oh, this person got hurt. It was his fault, her fault, or whoever's fault it was. But I didn't see it. I saw the person was in pain, but that's not good enough. We can't witness what we haven't seen. The Syrian army had invaded Israel, killed King Ahab, and taken captive. One of the captives was a little maiden. It doesn't say her name, doesn't say how old she was. I would suspect she's probably between age of 8 and 10. The fact they mentioned little and maiden, obviously it wasn't a big woman. And when they invade someone, they take people captive, they take you as a slave and they sell you to slave, like they did with Joseph when his brothers sold him as a slave. And whoever has you, you can work in the field, you can work in menial tasks. But this lady, little lady, she was actually blessed. God, even though she'd been taken from her family, God was still with her. Because she found herself in the house of Naaman. Now, Ellen White writes in Prophets and Kings, chapter 20, that the young maiden was brought up by her parents to love and respect her God and people. And I guess the Bible verse, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it, must have played a part. Now, even though when children are taught right, they may take that training a million miles from where they've gone, but they'll never, ever forget the training. Like when we were at school, we learned our times table. And we learned 11, 11s and 12, 12. We learned it as a rhyme. It's in our textbooks. Now, even years on, I still remember them. And it's not that I use all my tables all the time. But what you learn as a child, you do remember. This maiden became a lady-in-waiting for Naaman's wife. Now, Naaman was a nice chap, I suppose. But what was nice that the little maiden would always tell the people who surrounded about where she came from, about her God, and whatever it was, Naaman's wife must have liked her, because when she heard that Naaman was ill, she told her mistress how Naaman could be cured. Now, if that was me taken from my family, which I love, I probably wouldn't be so keen to wish well on someone who'd taken me from my family. I probably will say something like, I hope your hand drops off. I hope your leg drops off. I'm being real. You take me from my family, who I love, and I got to go somewhere I'm not supposed to be? But not so with this maiden. She loved Naaman and his family, and they obviously loved her too. Now, who was Naaman? 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 says, he was a captain of the king of Syria's men. In some of the translation, he was a general. He was an honorable man. He was blessed by God. A heathen blessed by God? He was blessed by God, even though Naaman probably didn't know it. He was a mighty man of valor. But he had one problem. He had leprosy. Now, I looked up leprosy, and I wondered what types of leprosy they had in those days. There are partly about three types of leprosy, or Hansen's disease. There's, now get this, if I get the spelling right, the pronunciation right, tuberculosis, lepromatous, or borderline leprosy. It's said that tuberculosis is less contagious than the other two, and it's probably the one that Naaman probably had. But yet still, it's still a horrible illness. The fact that Naaman had leprosy and he wasn't shunned to live by himself, well, probably that he probably had the lesser of the two. Now, Naaman was told how he could be cured by his trusted little maiden. You can find that in 2 Kings 5:5. Now, when Naaman passed his message on to his king was pleased. This is king of Syria. He was pleased. So he sends a message to the king of Israel. That's found in verse 7. And saying, here's my champion. I hear you can cure him. Cure him. But the king was not happy. He said he's trying to find war. Means of finding war with me. The problem is, the king was of Israel. Did he not know of Elisha? Did he not know of God, what God can do? Did not even try? What the Bible says, he rent his clothes. Elisha found out about this, and he sent a message to the king. Send Elisha to me. Sorry. Thank you. You was listening. Send Naaman to me. I'll sort him out. Elisha hears about all this, and he puts in play that a Naaman can come to him. Naaman thinks, right, at last, I'm going to be cured of my illness. Now, Naaman and his entourage arrived at Elisha's house. Now, I imagine that Naaman was a high, wealthy man, wealthy man. Now, he said, well, if there's a man in Israel who is as gifted as this man is, surely he lived in a lovely place. He finds him in, well, not such a lovely house. Anyway, he arrives in his chariot. He probably puts out the red carpet, sends his servant to the door, and says, well, the man will be out soon. But what happened? Naaman waits in his chariot. Elisha doesn't even come to the door. He sends his servant, his messenger. Does he not know who I am? Not only that, he sends his messenger to him. And what's he saying? Elisha says, water down there, dip 7 times and you'll be okay. Turns around, walks away, closes the door. I can see Elisha seething. What? You're listening, thank you. I can see Naaman actually upset was an understatement. The cheek of it. I've fought so many battles, I've done this, I've done that. Does he not know who I am? Why don't he come out? Besides, we passed the Jordan where he wanted me to go and dip. It's smelly there. It's dirty. We have rivers in our land, which is beautiful. Why can't I go there? I'm not going. It takes one of Naaman's servants to say, well, excuse me, Lord Naaman, didn't you come here with leprosy? Well, surely if you leave now, won't you have leprosy when you go home? I guess so. Here's the thing. I drove through Slough I drove past Slough. I don't have to know it's Slough when I'm on the motorway. As you drive it, Slough, it smells. But only smell for people who don't live in Slough. If you live, you don't smell it. That's why if you go to my house and I'm cooking fish, and you come to my house the first time, ooh, poor. But if you're in my house long enough, you don't notice it. But here's the thing. Naaman eventually goes and says, okay, well, we've got to do it, we've got to do it. I can imagine him going, taking off his clothes, and going into the river, and he said, right, now here goes. He probably put his foot in, ooh, that's a bit cold. He goes in, and says, well, okay, here goes nothing. Hand on nose, goes down once, looks up, no change. Now, all his servants watching on, because they want to know, well, is this real? Will this happen? He goes down twice. Oh, by this time, I can imagine, it's stinging. You have had a cut and put some iodine or put something on it that's supposed to make it nice and clean. It hurts. But that's why it's healing it. Naaman goes down three times, four times, five times, six times. Still no change. On the seventh time, he comes up and it was like is a new person. Now remember, when Naaman first went to Elisha, he was in his chariot, expecting things to happen. Now that he's cured of leprosy, he believes in this God now. He comes out, of his chariot himself, he goes knocking on the door, a different person. An unusual witness. He now witnesses what God can do. And isn't it strange? When you don't want to do anything because it's too hard, once you start, it's like my dad used to ask me to mow the lawn. Now, we didn't have these fly mowers back in the day. We had them old back-beaten lawn mowers. And then when you finish mowing the lawn, you have to pick up the grass up afterwards. Not these funny things you can go, whoa, and it goes in. Now, to start mowing the lawn, I was upset. But by the time I'm outside enjoying, you kind of, passing the time. Naaman appreciates what's happened. So he goes to Elisha and says, I want to thank you. Truly, there's no other God like your God. No other God. And I want to worship him, basically. I want to give you something, just a little gift, a token of my thanks. Elisha says, no, not necessary. He tries twice, probably even three times, turned away. Anyway, he said, okay. He sets off on his journey. Now, here's where someone who should know better runs after him, as in Gehazi. He sneaks off and goes to Naaman and says, well, that gift you was given, I think we have someone who's in need of it. Oh, sure, Naaman says, gives him the gift. Now, Gehazi takes the gift, puts it somewhere safe, and goes back. Elisha says, where you been? Nowhere. You sure? No, nowhere. But don't you know that I know things? You've been with me for so long, I haven't seen the miracles I've done, that God talks to me? Well, that leprosy that was with Naaman, you want it so much, you've got it. And unfortunately, Gehazi became a leper until he died. The thing is, we all know better. We've been taught a lot of things from a child. Things that will enrich us and reach other people. But if you have something that can you can share with somebody that can help them, wouldn't you help them? I remember when we was going to church, we used to take the bus to church sometimes, or we'd walk to church. Now, it's probably about 3 miles to church. And I'm third generation Adventist. Good boy I was. Now, going to church, because my dad was overseas, I had a choice. I can go the boring route with not many, loads of houses, but not many, any people around, but then it's a long up and down hill. Or I can go the longer route, which is where I see shops, I can see people, and all fun and flashing lights. So I chose to go that route. And previously that week, the teacher had asked, is there anyone Christians? And if you're a Christian. I looked around, no one put their hand up. I'm not putting my hand up. I was too embarrassed. So this is RE class, religious education. No one would put their hand up to say they're a Christian. So I said, well, I'm not going to be the only one, so I didn't. Now, I think the good Lord has a sense of humor. Now, what we used to do, back in the day, we used to have to walk with our Bible under our arm. Now, it wasn't the Gideon Bibles that you put in your back pocket. Now, being a child, you have a children's Bible. It's big because it's got a lot of pictures, isn't it? Now, I had it under my arm. Now, if I knew I saw someone coming, I'd stick it in my coat so no one would see it. Now, bear in mind, I'm in a suit. Aaron asked me, where are you going? Oh, wedding. Go to wedding. Yeah, okay, problem solved. This particular day, I saw someone from school, and I'm ready for his answer. He didn't ask me, where am I going? He didn't ask me that. What's that in your hand? Ooh, I forgot to hide my Bible. He said, that looks like a Bible. You're going to church. Well, I couldn't say anything. I said, well, yeah. He started laughing. I knew he would. He started laughing. Now, a thought came into my head, split second. I said, I don't know what you're laughing for. You're going to church tomorrow. He goes, but, yes, so? I said, well, we're both going to church, aren't we? He said, well, yeah. Problem solved. From that day onwards, I was never fearful of saying as a Christian. But it took something like that to let me know I've got nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody goes to church. They just don't tell you. What witness are you? Have you got something to witness? Of what God has done for you? I sure have. I sure have. What witness are you?